my friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, April the 4th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. Yes, it is me. It is not someone who picked up the microphone and is feigning to be this wonderful podcaster. Renee and I got back from our vacation earlier this week, and I brought this little souvenir with me. It was not over there with us, thanks be to Jesus, but only presented itself upon re-entry into the States. And so you get to listen to me, and hopefully this makes, on your end, hopefully it makes for a shorter podcast, right? Well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Yeah, I just may bail halfway through. But the bottom line is, these readings are way too good just to pass by. And I didn't want to do that. So we are coming up on the fifth Sunday of Lent. I mean, next weekend is already Palm Sunday. 2 weekends from now is Easter Sunday. So, and these readings just are a marvelous. I mean, they just, they prepare the way so beautifully, okay? So what are we going to hear? We're going to hear from Isaiah 43. It is just a terrific reading. I think I've quoted it several times over the years on this podcast, this very reading. Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. I think some of those words are going to resonate with you. And then we're going to go to John. I know you think we should be in Luke, but we're going to go to John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Only time we hear this every 3 years, but it's, gosh, such a good story. And worth just dwelling on again and hearing as if for the first time, okay? You're going to be very familiar with it. All right, so however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself, open yourself, ready yourself for the Spirit to make itself known to you, to let this word find a home within you. I invite you to do that at this time as we break open God's word together. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past. The things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches, for I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So my friends, if there was anything in that reading that spoke to you, and my goodness, there was so much certainly spoke to me, let it sink, let it seep, let it just go to the very base of who you are. May have been a word, an image, an idea, a thought, may have pointed you somewhere. Let the Spirit of God speak to you through that and just rest with it, okay? Let that word come alive. God is present now, not just then, now. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But then they continued asking him, and he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, this is such good news, isn't it? Such good news. All right, so many things to talk about with this. But, goodness sakes, I don't know that my voice will hold out for that time, so let's just dig right in. First of all, just aside, not even one of my main points, but this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery, okay? You know, we know what that means, right? Well, if one is committing adultery, it's not just one person there. And the law didn't just say that the women should be stoned. The law did say death, you know, for those caught in the act of committing adultery. But it said that both the male and the female should die. So isn't it interesting that only one was brought before Jesus? You know, you do with that what you will. And why they chose her. But the other thing, and again, just a little background here, of course, what they're trying to do is trap Jesus. They're not foolish. I mean, they understand. We're going to bring this woman before him, and he's got to choose one way or the other. Goodness sakes, how many political ads have we seen one way or the other here too? Either Jesus is going to say, yes, Moses is right, that's what the law says, and the woman is going to be stoned in front of her. And whatever movement Jesus has is going to suffer greatly because of that. Because they see him as different, right? Or he's going to be quote-unquote soft on sin, you know? And say, listen, Moses didn't really mean that. Don't worry about that. Instead, what he does, brothers and sisters, is he doesn't choose either of those paths. That's the trap that they set for him. He's going to choose one, and he's going to look the fool. And of course, he doesn't do either. In his brilliance, he chooses a third way. And so I think there's so much we can learn from that when people try to trap us in those to choose third way as well. And he doesn't minimize sin, but instead he brings it to the universality and says, but we're all here. And so why are we scapegoating this one and not looking in the mirror? Because that's what he invites us to do. And brothers and sisters, that of course continues to happen today. Why do we scapegoat these, whoever those are, in our lives, rather than realizing it's right here? All I need to do is look in the mirror or have an honest self-assessment, because that's where it is too, and that's where it resides. And that's really where we meet our God. Okay, so let's talk about meeting our God. I've always kind of been put off by the last line in the gospel that Jesus says, when he finally straightens up and looks at the woman, who until that point has not been an object of derision for him. He has kept his gaze away, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. When he finally does straighten up and address her and says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, sir." And he says, neither do I condemn you. But that last line, which says, go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. I wonder, I'm like, Jesus, why did you put such a constraint around her? Because we're human beings. We're going to sin. How is that possible to live in that space where I'm not going to sin anymore? And I don't think that's what he's saying at all. And I love at least my poor idea of all these years. I love how they coupled that with this reading from Isaiah. It is so good. So let's go back to this reading from Isaiah, shall we? So Isaiah is speaking to a people in Babylon, all right? They are without hope. And he's saying, listen, God is still present. They think God has left them, okay, right? They are imprisoned. They are 1,000 miles away. Context is everything here. We've all been in that place, too, where we feel without hope. We feel without God. God has not remembered us. God is not with me because of my own actions. I deserve this. I'm in this very dark place. And what Isaiah says is no, no. He says, thus says the Lord who opens a way in the sea, the one who can do the impossible, a path in the mighty waters, who led out, you know, these chariots and horsemen, the Egyptians. That's what he's pointing to. This powerful army till they were snuffed out and quenched like a wick, right? The same God who acts then Isaiah challenges them and says, don't just think of God as somebody who's done great things in the past, right? That God is a was. God is an is what Isaiah is saying. Not a was, an is. Remember not the events of the past. He's not saying forget about, you know, the Red Sea. Forget about God leading them out of Egypt, the Hebrew people, and the Ten Commandments at Sinai. But he's saying, don't think that's only who God is. The things of the love long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new now, today. I am acting here in this moment. God continues to be present and active and dynamic, and the doer of amazing deeds, the one who can open up a way in the sea and in the wilderness provide rivers of water. Brothers and sisters, if we have ever come to that point in our life that says, God is a was, God used to do wonderful things, and why doesn't God continue to do wonderful things? Where is God? Oh, how I wish God were continuing to be active. This reading is for you. Isaiah looks at us, and God says to us, or Isaiah, through God through Isaiah, let's do it that way. Remember not just the things of the past and think that's where I was. See, I am doing something new today. Even now, even here, in this moment, it is springing forth. Do you not perceive it? Why? We can't perceive it because we're looking in the past. Look now. Look at the life and the possibility and the miracles and the action and the movement of God, even here, now, today. God is not a was. God is. God is and continues to be today. I love that line. I know I've used it several times over the years on this podcast. It's from the United Church of Christ. I've seen it in a number of banners that have been put up on their churches. But it says, do not place a period where God has placed a comma. God is still speaking. Do not place a period where God has placed a comma. God is still speaking. Do we perceive it, brothers and sisters? Do we listen? Do we allow God to do something new? Yes, it's scary. And trust me, the Hebrew people had to be incredibly frightened when they were led out of Egypt, right up to the banks of the Red Sea, and didn't have a way forward until they did. And you know, and we, in the midst of our darkness, may feel incredibly afraid, and we cannot see a way forward until God makes one. It's no coincidence, and I credit Richard Rohr with this. I was just reading this last week. You know, he talked about giving us our daily bread. And he said there's a reason that, you know, God, when God was giving the manna to the Hebrew people in the desert for those, you know, years and years, those times, that they couldn't take manna for 2 days. They could only take it for one. If they tried to collect for enough for 2 days or 3 days, it would rot and it would fester with maggots and it would start to smell. That was God's way of inviting the Hebrew people to trust in God day to day to day and not beyond, that God is enough for today and that God will show up tomorrow. He was creating within the Hebrew people a habit, and that because of that, God showed up every day. It was no wonder that they created all these names. If you look in Jewish scripture, there are dozens of names that the Hebrew people have for God, because God continued to meet them in their darkness and in their valley. And when God did and brought them out, they gave God a new name, because God was the one who met them in that dark valley and brought them out. And so God is not only the God who brought them out of Egypt, but the one who brought them out of Babylon, the one who brought them to the promised land, the one who saw them in the midst of whatever dark moment was going on in their history. And that is true for us today, brothers and sisters. God walks with us, even today. God is dynamic. God isn't just a thing of the past, but is a thing of the present. And he walks with us day by day by day, and invites us into that space of dependence upon God's very nature. And when we realize that, when we experience that, that's a better word, when we experience that, we know God in a new way that we have never known God before. And we too can give God a new name. Maybe not a universal name like the Hebrews did, but a name in our lives. I love how in Hebrew scriptures, you know, when Jacob wrestled the angel all that night and was given a new name at the end of it, he built an altar there because he met God, right? That was a special place. It was a sacred place. It was a holy place in his life because he knew God in a new way after wrestling all night and came to a new understanding of God. When we meet God in our daily experience, when God shows up, when we have the eyes to see, when we know God is alive and in our life has brought us to a new place, we too build an altar in that place in our life. And that becomes a sacred moment, a sacred place, a sacred day in our life. And we name God anew. Brothers and sisters, God is not just in the past. God is not a was. God is an is. And God shows up now. Do we not perceive it? And that, I believe, to make this all the way back to our gospel, is how Jesus can say, go forth and sin no more. He's saying, listen, don't just live in that past. I don't know what brought you to that place where you were committing adultery, that you, whether it was a one-time affair or whether it was something that you allowed or you saw yourself as being no better than. He said, but whatever baggage that you carry, whatever things that others have told you about yourself, whatever, dark place, whatever voices in your mind, whatever tapes are in your past, whatever all this stuff is, this shame and this sin and this I'm not good enough language, all that stuff, he's saying, remember not. Remember not. Behold, woman, I am doing something new for you. Go and live in this new space. Go and live in the possibility that I'm giving you a clean slate before you. All that old stuff, let it go. Neither do I condemn you. Go and live anew. Brothers and sisters, our God invites us into that space today. This God who continues to be new, who says, I don't see you as just that person back then. I see you as who you are. And I love you here today, right now, in this space. Neither do I condemn you. All that baggage, all that shit, all that stuff, that tells you are your worst decisions or your worst thoughts or your worst actions or your worst you know, whatever moments, God says, I don't condemn you. Let them go. Behold, I'm offering you something new. Do you not perceive it? Even now it springs forth. Go and live in that space. Second and last thing I'll say, I want to say this is John Shea, and so I give him credit for this. I love this image. I think I've even used it before, maybe 3 years ago when I did this gospel. Jean-Paul Sartre is a French philosopher from the 20th century, and he uses this idea called, quote-unquote, the stare. All right? Now, I Googled the stare, and so I'm going to read you, what this AI came up. It's just two sentences. No, this isn't my brilliance by any means. It's Sartre's, but it's how it points to what the stare means. The stare, or the look, refers to the way the gaze of another person can make us feel like an object, impacting our sense of self and freedom. This look can make us feel exposed and vulnerable, as if our reality becomes dependent on the other person's perception of us. In a sense, the stare is something we are held in by another. And that stare, we can take on, we become vulnerable and take on another person's sense of who we are. Their perception of us becomes our own. And their, whatever that framing is, whatever that stare, it makes us feel like an object and can degrade us. That's exactly what is happening with this woman. She is being held in the middle of the group. She's put in the middle of the group. That's what the gospel says, right? And Jesus is bending down, writing on the ground. And I know that there are things we could talk about with the writing on the ground, and I'm not going to do that this podcast. But he refuses to hold her in that stare. But the accusers don't. They hold her there. They are, in a sense, limiting her, impacting her sense of self and freedom. They are holding her in a place of indignity, in a place where she is, they're holding her in that place of baggage, right? This is who you are, and I know that's who you are. Their stare is not one of love. Their look is not one of compassion. Their stare is one of degradation. They're one of humiliation. They're one of exposing her and saying this is who she is. She is no better than this sin. We've all been there, right? We've all been held in the stare by somebody. And many times, and that becomes part of that baggage. But Jesus refuses to do that. He actively refuses. He bends down and looks at the ground and does not do that. But he does straighten up at one point and confront the people who are doing it and says, okay, you who are holding this person in this stare, you who are accusing this person, okay, what about yourselves? Let the one among you who is without accusation, who no one has ever held in a stare, the one who carries no baggage and no memory and no past that they are ashamed of, let them be the first one to cast the stone. And then he bends back down, looking at the ground and writing on it. And they, in their honest self-assessment, go away. Then finally, brothers and sisters, and only then does Jesus stand up and look at the woman. And I can only imagine the look of compassion. It says, then Jesus straightened up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir. I think the only one who has condemned her to this point, besides the crowd, of course, is herself. The only one who has not condemned her is Jesus. I think she has carried that baggage around condemning herself for years. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and live in this new space and let down your own baggage of condemnation. Go. Go. Brothers and sisters, we live in a culture that holds people in the stare all the time. It just may not happen in the temple area like this. It may not happen in groups of people like that. It just happens on Twitter, or happens in, Instagram, or on Facebook, or on the news, or in podcasts, or YouTube, or you name it. It's everywhere. And we call it cancel culture. It just sounds so much better, doesn't it? But we hold people in the stare and say, this is who you are. Brothers and sisters, when we do this, we have to know which side of this conversation, which side of this gospel we're on. And we're not on the right side. Our God is a God of newness. God is not just a God in the past. God is dynamic and present now, and he invites us into that dance. And he says to us, brothers and sisters, even now, remember not just the things of the past. Behold, I am doing something new. Even now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And if indeed we are to look with the same look of Jesus, do we allow and invite others to perceive it in their own lives and to let go of the baggage of their past? For they too are not simply their worst moments or thoughts or words or actions. We get to continue to offer others a new moment as well, just and thanks be to God that our God does to us. That is longer than you needed to hear this voice today. But let's take all this to prayer. So we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth sorrowful mystery. Jesus carries his cross. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thank you for putting up with this, longer podcast than it needed to be. But may your week ahead be filled with every good joy. Be well, and God's peace.